Good afternoon, Daniel. How are you doing this week?
I'm great, man. How are you doing? It's Friday.
I know. It is Friday. It's been a heck of a week here. I thought it'd be helpful if we wrap this week up. There's a couple of different things that were kind of spinning through my head. I thought it'd be good for us to get together and just kind of chat about those things that happened this week, or at least puts some of this stuff on top of mind for me. And so I think the biggest takeaway I had this week, just from interactions with clients and prospects and some new groups we're working with, is that there's a lot of successful practices out there, successful from a monetary standpoint. I mean, they're making a profit. They're doing well in spite of what we see is just no technology planning, like all these vendors everywhere. And it's funny because we come in and we look, and it's because we do this and we have a playbook, we look and we see all the gaps like almost instantly. And we're like, wow, like we're so excited to get started because I can see that if we do this, like if we just kind of correct, I don't want to say the mistakes, but correct the path that they were on, just even 10 degrees, 20 degrees, like they're going to be so much more productive. And that really pumps me up. I thought that was really cool. Cool experience today with some new clients we had coming on. What about you?
That's a good insight. Yeah, for sure. I think, and I've heard you say this before, and I love this term. So it sounds almost like you're talking about the idea of technical debt, the idea that some of the decisions that groups make early on kind of stay with them for a while during their life cycle as a business. And so they've made some decisions, they've got some partners in place, and you know they're moving in a direction, but things can start to get more complicated. And if you don't have sort of an overarching plan or idea, strategy, if you will, on where you're going and what the future looks like, and that aligns with your IT, then I think you're just going to be fighting with your tech more than you are kind of really using it to the maximum capabilities.
You're spot on, man, that in the lack of a plan, you're going to have organic growth, right? So if you were trying to plant a garden, I mean, you plant it in rows for a reason, right? So you can, you know, everything grows. If you just start throwing seeds out in a garden with all the different stuff, well, the watermelon's going to take over the corn. I'm not a gardener, by the way, but you're going to have chaos. Like Some stuff's going to come up, but you don't know what, and it's going to be chaos. So with the lack of a plan, I think you hit the nail on the head. And it's like what's in motion stays in motion, right? Newton's first, second, third.
One of the laws.
So they hey, we hired an MSP. Cool. Great. But we hired him 10 years ago. And now we're a different organization. Our MSP is not a different organization. They're still, you know, doing things that they, you know, however they did them, and that's not right or wrong, but we don't stop and observe and go, okay, does this still work for us? You know, and it's important to do that. Portfolio management, what vendors and partners from a technology perspective are you working with? And are they exact same ones? If the group's grown, I mean, I will say we're a completely different organization from when we started, from a maturity perspective and how we approach, you know, all those things, right? You know, 10 years ago, did we have all this figured out? No, but today, yes, we have a very solid playbook and a roadmap. And if it aligns, you know, if you believe that we have success with that, which we do, then yeah, we buy in and it makes it easy. But a lot of groups, they don't stop and take stock of what's going on. And to your point, they end up with just a whole bunch of vendors doing point solutions, a group here doing this, another group here doing infrastructure work that's not in alignment. I mean, literally, we have groups and they can't work with us because they literally just finished a very big capital intensive project. You know, let's say they just refreshed their whole network, and we literally look and are like, why? And they don't, you know, like they don't really know why. I mean, why? It's because it got sold to them. You know what I mean? And so from that perspective, I think having a plan is very important.
Oh, yeah, big time. Well, and it's one of the things that I love the most about what I get to do. I get to talk to a lot of business leaders, healthcare leaders, and just hear about what they're into, what their past experiences with different technology groups have been, where they're at now. And, you know, I just see common problems. And one of the problems that we're kind of talking around that we haven't said directly is just the problem of fragmentation. So the idea that you have all of these different kind of technology groups, you may have an MSP that you're working with, you may have a local tech provider that you're working with, you may have an ISP, you may have somebody on staff, you may have an in-house on staff person. And then, but, you know, when you have all of these different groups, like, who is kind of running the show? Is it the C-level? Are they running the show? Are they asking for what they think they need this week? Or is there, a technology strategy partner in place that's actually looking down the road and saying, well, we want to be here. And so what does that look like? Are they trying to solve today's problems? Or are they trying to solve, you know, the next 3 years problems? So that's what I'm seeing when I'm talking to people that are trying to grow, and maybe they've got experience with healthcare in the past and bigger environments, you know, maybe like a hospital. A lot of times hospitals will have, you know, C-level executives, a CIO or a CTO, and they will be, you know, kind of leading that technology strategy. But the smaller groups, they don't oftentimes have access to that, which is, that's a huge problem. I think it's one of the cool things that we do. And of course, I'm saying this because, you know, I did it for over a year, but the virtual or the fragmentary CIO part of that, I think that's really cool. And having that kind of leadership, even from an outside perspective, I think that's just a really cool, very valuable thing to add to an organization. So it's like, okay, you're going to bring in a CIO, you're going to bring in an IT director, or can you just work with a partner that also has this level of experience already kind of baked in?
Sure. I think it's great. It depends on your group size. Like the larger the group, sure. The larger the group, the more chance that there is going to need to be a CIO or somebody on that side that interfaces with a group like us, just because there's more stuff. Because look, if IT in a big organization, now it's supporting HR functions. It's supporting staffing and credentialing. I mean, it becomes very quickly that, you know, yeah, the network and all that stuff being up, I mean, that's table stakes. And yes, we do that very well. And we can sort all that out for a group. But in a larger group, they're going to also need that maybe CIO level, you know, a person on their side to help internally coordinate the best use of IT resources. And that gets into the I information versus the T, which we might talk about at another time. But back to this week and just trying to keep this short and sweet. My biggest takeaway, again, was that there's a lot of groups that are successful in spite of their technology, not because of it. And I think there's a huge opportunity for those groups to work with a group like ours and all of a sudden just really boost that to that next level of productivity and profitability. And P.S., if somebody tells you, I mean, yeah, if you hadn't bought a new computer or made any IT investments in the last 5 years, well, yeah, now we've got this mound of technical debt we're going to have to deal with. But the reality is those groups they're not investing. I mean, they are buying computers. In fact, a lot of them, I'm like, why did you buy 100 computers? You only needed to buy 50. And it's because they don't know. And so it's not even an issue oftentimes of a proper investment. It's just not the right investments. And so that's what makes me excited. I'm like, hey, look, what you're spending on IT, we could potentially even reduce it. But I know this, for what you're spending on IT, we're going to get you a 2-4x return versus today you're getting like maybe a 0.5. Mm-hmm. And P.S., all the providers, all they know is it doesn't work. All they know is it's hard. And a lot of times you get into this spot, well, because security, and we beat security to death. Yes, it's super important to have security. But like at the end of the day, this stuff's got to work for the, mm-hmm. you know, for the end user. So in spite of, not because of technology, I think we can turn that around quickly for those types of groups with our playbook and our strategy.
I agree. Well, and it's cool that we get a direct input to help with groups. You know, I think that's just really awesome. It's something I've really enjoyed working with you. It's like, we're coming across people who are, like you said, they're succeeding in spite of, you know, one of the things I was, of course, super keyed in on was the security aspect. It's like, oh, we've got it. We're calling a lot of people and we're saying, hey, how's your cybersecurity? And they're saying, oh, we've already been hacked. Like, that's just already a thing. So it's like, kind of talk about beating a dead horse. I mean, they're already there. You know, they may have already paid the ransom or something. So I think at the end of the day, security has to tie back into productivity, because you can't work if your systems are down and you're hacked and things like that. And then also I loved the whole idea of, you know, saving time from logging in with your eye or your fingerprint or a prox card or something like that. And that being something that can save a lot of time in a provider's day. That's a huge deal, because, you know, somebody told me the story this week, you know, that there was a very high level C-level executive who had been locked out of the EHR for like, what, 2 months or something?
Well, it's like, can't get it worked out. Now, if it's been 2 months, obviously they're not a provider, they're the executive. So it maybe doesn't matter. But yeah, that is a symptom of some other things that need to get addressed. So I think that's great. Well, Daniel, thanks for spending some time late here on Friday. It was just quick thought that I had. And I hope we can get together maybe next week or the week after and maybe make this a regular thing.
That sounds great, Edward. Sounds good, man. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, man. Take care. Have a nice one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.